So we're continuing the sikha that we were learning yesterday. It's from the Kuta Sikha's Chiluk Chavot. And the Rebbe explains the concept that we find on Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Emes v'Teiros Emes. Moshe Rabbeinu is Emes and his Teira is Emes. So Teira we find is called Emes and Moshe is called Emes. So the Rebbe explains that when we say that Moshe is Emes and the Teira is Emes, it doesn't only mean that it's not false. It doesn't only mean that it's not Sheker. It means something positive. It's not only excluding Sheker, but it means something positive. And the Rebbe explains how Emes means something that's Nitzchi B'li Shinuyim. Something that's everlasting, that's eternal and unchangeable. Something that's only here temporary. It's not here permanently. And it can be changeable and changed due to different causes and reasons. That's not true Emes. Because the item that appears in front of you seems to be something the way it looks, but really it's a combination of many factors that causes that it should be around. And when those factors will change, then this whole item will change. So that's not real Emes. Real Emes is something that's Nitzchi Evolutionary. This is what we learned yesterday. And this is what it says about Teira, that Teira is Emes. Why is Teira called Emes? Because Teira is perfect in all times, in all situations, in all generations. The Teira was given to this world in such a way that it's always the perfect thing. That's Nitzchi B'li Shinuyim. Teira never changes. There's no such thing that a certain generation comes along. That generation, the Teira is not perfectly fit. There needs to be a change made. There's no such thing. Teira is perfect for all times. Because Teira is the true Emes, is the Emes of the Eibushim, was given to this world. And that's why that's the point of Teira's Emes. As the Rambam says, one of the Yosedes in Yiddishkeit, that Teira Azeis Leitei Mukhlefes, Teira will never be changed. The same is with Moshe Rabbeinu. When we say Moshe Emes, the Medrash says that Moshe Rabbeinu, the moment he was born, he was the one that was appropriate and fit to receive the Teira. It wasn't just that later, when it came the time to give the Teira, Hashem decided to choose Moshe Rabbeinu. He was the one from the moment of his birth, which shows us that Moshe Rabbeinu's connection to the Teira is something of his very true being. It's not just something that he did. He did some good action to merit that he should be the one to receive the Teira. But Moshe Rabbeinu's whole being is connected with Teira. So if Teira is Emes, then Moshe is also Emes. Which means also Nitzchi B'li Shinui. Moshe is Nitzchi, is everlasting, is forever, without any changes. And we find this even in Moshe Rabbeinu's activities. Moshe Rabbeinu built the Mishkan. So it says that the Mishkan was never destroyed. Because Maise Yedei Moshe, if Moshe built it, Nitzchi will be everlasting. And if Moshe Rabbeinu would come into Eretz Yisrael and build a Beis HaMikdash, it would never be able to be destroyed. Moshe Rabbeinu, what he did, his activities remain forever. Nitzchi, because Moshe Rabbeinu is Moshe Emes, connected with Teira, and Emes is Nitzchi B'li Shinuyim. So therefore, even what Moshe Rabbeinu accomplished to build the Mishkan, it must stay forever. It's a Medas Le'elam. It was hidden, it was put away somewhere in the Midbar, but it's around forever. And certainly, this is about Moshe Rabbeinu himself. If this is about his activities, it's certainly about Moshe Rabbeinu himself. And that's why the Gemara tells us that Lei Meis Moshe, Moshe did not die. What does it mean? So we learned yesterday at length, how the Rebbe explains this, that the life of a tzaddik is Chaim Ruchni. That's the life of a tzaddik, spiritual life. And the Alter Rebbe says, Tanya Muna. Yiras Hashem, Avas Hashem, spiritual life, that's the life of a tzaddik. Physical aspect of life is not considered the life of the tzaddik. Those are unimportant things that he does, but it's not part of his life. As the Rebbe once said by Fabrengen, that the life of a tzaddik is not the bread that he eats, the water that he drinks, but it's the emunah that he has, and the avas Hashem, and the yiras Hashem. That's his life, because a tzaddik feels his nefesh alikis, doesn't feel his nefesh abahamis. So all the physical aspects of life are not part of him. That's so to say, distant from him. That's not considered his life. His life is everything that nefesh alikis is associated with. Emunah, yira, ava. That's the life of a tzaddik. So when we speak about Meshach, the life of Meshach Rabbeinu, we're not talking about his eating and drinking. That's not the life of Meshach Rabbeinu. The life of Meshach Rabbeinu is his spiritual life. And we say that the spiritual life of Meshach Rabbeinu is nitzchi, unchangeable, is permanent, forever, it cannot change. What does that mean? That means to say, just as when Meshach Rabbeinu was physically alive, then the life of Meshach Rabbeinu, the spiritual life of Meshach Rabbeinu, was enclosed in the guf gashmi, and that way, the life of Meshach Rabbeinu was connected with the physical aspect of the world. It was enclosed in a body, and that way it was part of the physical aspect of the world. Part of Elam Hazeh HaGashmi, the life of Meshach Rabbeinu. After the passing of Meshach Rabbeinu, this cannot change. We cannot say that Meshach Rabbeinu's life, spiritual life, is no longer connected with Elam Hazeh HaGashmi. The Rebbe explains this the way it is by other tzaddikim. By other tzaddikim, we say that even though after their passing they're still called Chai, however, their spiritual life is no longer connected with Elam Hazeh HaGashmi. While they were alive in a physical body, then the life of the tzaddik was connected in part of Elam Hazeh HaGashmi. After the passing of the tzaddik, true that his spirit is still found in this world, and even more than during his lifetime, in a way like the Alter Rebbe says in Tanya. But it's found in this world, however, it's not connected with this world. It's sort of removed a little bit from the physical aspect of the world. The ruchni is the spirit of the tzaddik is found within this world. There are many spiritual things that are found in this world. Malachim can be in this world, many things can be in this world. But they're not a part of the world, they're not a part of Elam Hazeh HaGashmi. So, by other tzaddikim, after their passing, even though they are still called alive, because the tzaddik is alive, and that's the spiritual life of the tzaddik, and he's even found, the presence of his spiritual life is found still in this world, but it's separated from the world, it's not part of the world, not connected with the world. By Meshach Rabbeinu, this cannot be so. That's what the Gemara means, that there was no separation, there was no break and separation and interruption in the connection of Meshach Rabbeinu with this world, with Elam Hazeh HaGashmi. He still remained connected and part of Elam Hazeh HaGashmi. How does this take place? So the Rebbe explains in two ways. Number one, of course it says in the Zayar, is Pashtusa de Meshach b'chol dara v'dara, that the extension of Meshach is in each generation. Meshach Rabbeinu was not just only in that generation, but he extends, he's continuously within the Yidden. How is that? Because Ein Lach Deir She'ein Beikir Meshach. There's no generation that doesn't have a tzaddik that's like Meshach Rabbeinu. And he's the Meshach Rabbeinu of that generation. And the neshama of Meshach Rabbeinu comes enclosed in that tzaddik. It says in Tanya and other Sforim that the neshama of Meshach Rabbeinu is enclosed, found within the guf of the Meshach Rabbeinu in each generation, the tzaddik ha-deir, the nosi ha-deir. So that means that the spiritual life of Meshach Rabbeinu, the neshama of Meshach Rabbeinu, remains forever in this physical world through the fact that it's enclosed in the body of the nosi ha-deir in each generation. So that's one way how Meshach Rabbeinu's life, spiritual life, is forever connected and part of this physical world of Elam Hazeh HaGashmi. Another way, the Rebbe brings in a footnote, another way to explain this, that it's not only through the body of the nosi ha-deir in each generation, but it also has a connection with Meshach Rabbeinu's, with the guf of Meshach Rabbeinu himself. The spiritual life of Meshach Rabbeinu forever remained connected with his own guf, with the guf of Meshach Rabbeinu himself. And this is similar to what the Gemara says about Yankov Avinu. The same thing the Gemara says about Yankov Avinu, Loi Meis, he did not die. And then the Gemara asks a question, well, if so how come they did to Yankov Avinu everything that they do to people who passed away? How come they did all those things? Buried him and so on. So the Gemara says that true that they did all those things, but we learn enough from a pasuk that Yankiv did not die. And Rashi explains that the reason why they did all those things is because it seemed to them that he died. They thought that he died, seemed to them that he died, and therefore they did all those things. But in truth, he was alive. This is what Rashi says. Simple Rashi in the Gemara. So by Yaakov Avinu, we find that although to the people around it seemed that he passed away, it looked like his neshama left his body. Because there are signs in the laws of nature, there are, you know, in Derech HaTeva, there are signs that show when the neshama of the person is still connected with his physical body and when it left. So it seemed to them from the signs that the neshama of Yaakov had left his physical body. But the Torah tells us it's not that way. By Yaakov Avinu, his neshama remained connected with his body. The people around him didn't see it, it didn't seem to them that way. It seemed to them that he died and therefore they buried him and so on. That's what Hashem wanted them to do. But concerning Yaakov Avinu himself, his neshama was still connected with his body. So this is what we find about Yaakov Avinu. So too it is about Moshe Rabbeinu. Rebbe says this possibility, this option that some of Farshim say, and Moshe Rabbeinu was also that way, that the life of Moshe Rabbeinu still remains connected with his physical body. By it, and the Rebbe explains another sikha that the Gemara says that usually by tzaddikim, the first 12 months after the passing of the tzaddik in the Shema, is oylevi yiredes. It goes up to the upper world, comes down to this world, it goes up and down. But after 12 months, it goes up and doesn't come down. That's what the Gemara says. And it seems in the Mefarshim that it's a benefit for the neshama after 12 months not to have to come down anymore, to be able to be only up, not to have to come down. After 12 months, it has to come down, up and down. But after 12 months, a benefit that should remain up there. The Rebbe says that that's only if the neshama was disconnected from the guf, then it's a benefit for the neshama to remain up there. It's troublesome a little bit for the neshama to be down here, but disconnected from the guf. But by Yaakov Avinu, where it says that his neshama was not disconnected from his guf, so therefore it's not over there. The advantage is that it can remain connected with the guf. That's a maila, not a chesoma. And as we see from the Mefarshim and the Alshich and the other Mefarshim, they say clearly that by Yaakov Avinu, his neshama was not separated from his guf at all. And all the levels of his neshama were still attached and connected with his guf. That's what we find by Yaakov Avinu. And similarly, by Moshe Rabbeinu, it's the same thing. And this is the reason the Rebbe says is all connected with Moshe Rabbeinu being Emes, Moshe Emes, Teirasa Yemes, the truth. Therefore, there can't be any change in Moshe Rabbeinu. To say that when he was physically alive, then we say that his life was connected and part of this world, and afterwards there was a change. It's no longer connected, no longer part of this world. That cannot be. Moshe Rabbeinu was Emes, Nitzchi B'lishinuyim. So therefore we have to say that he forever remains a part of this world. This is what the Rebbe explains in the Sikha, and this Rebbe explains how the Gemara tells us that when Haman made his geidel, he made the plot, he made the geidel to see when to carry out his plans, and he had this terrible plan to kill out all the Yidden. And it fell for the month of Adar. He was very happy because he thought this is the month that Moshe Rabbeinu passed away. It's a good month for him to do what he thought. But the Gemara says he didn't realize that in this same month Moshe Rabbeinu was also born. He didn't just pass away, he also was born. Rashi says that the birth of Moshe Rabbeinu was so great that it's worthy of wiping away the death of Moshe Rabbeinu. Kedayu aleidah shetechaper al amisa. But the Rebbe explains, what does this mean? It means that the birth of Moshe Rabbeinu is such that when he was born, then the emes in Moshe was immediately seen. Immediately as he was when he was born, he was emes Moshe emes, and then the whole room became lit up when he was born. So that the light, the true emes of the Eibishter, was immediately realized within the birth of Moshe Rabbeinu, and this is the type of birth that cannot have any interruption, cannot have any disconnection. And Moshe Rabbeinu was born, he remains forever part of this Elam HaZagashmi. So therefore, it wipes away the concept of death by Moshe Rabbeinu. The birth of Moshe Rabbeinu is such that wipes away the concept of death. It's impossible there should be a disconnection of Moshe Rabbeinu from this world. And that's why this wiped away Haman's Gzeidah, because Haman wanted to kill the Yidden, Chas V'Shalom. He wanted to attack the Gashmis of the Yidden. And we emphasize, no, this is a month where Moshe Rabbeinu was born that shows the eternal, everlasting connection with the Gashmi, with Elam Hazah Gashmi. This is the point that Rebbe explains in the Sikha of Chelek Chavot. And we have another Sikha where the Rebbe also talks about the same concept in Shabbos HaGadol Tavshin Nun Aleph. Here the Rebbe explains this concept of Moshe Rabbeinu being Nitzchi, B'li Shinuim, permanent and everlasting, cannot be changed, cannot be any change in the life of Moshe Rabbeinu. So the Rebbe explains that this connected specifically also the fact that he was the Redeemer. Moshe Rabbeinu was the one who redeemed the Yidden from Golus Mitzrayim. And we find in the Medrash that also tells us it's not that he was chosen later to be the Goyel Yisrael, he wasn't chosen when he was 80 years old to be the Redeemer. As soon as he was born, as soon as he was created, the Medrash says, he was the one that was fixed to be the Goyel, to be the Redeemer of the Yidden. So here we see that in connection with Geula also, Moshe Rabbeinu, the essence of Moshe Rabbeinu, this is the one to redeem the Yidden. What is Geula? What's the idea of Geula? We know that if the Yidden would have merited, there wouldn't have been the negative things that took place in the Midbar, and that Geula would have been the complete Geula. The Yidden would have gone straight into Eretz Yisrael with the complete Geula Shleima if they would have been Zeicha then. So Moshe Rabbeinu was the one who started the Geula, and it could have been a Geula Shleima then. What's Geula? What is Geula Shleima? Geula means that there should be Gilui Elokus in this world. As it says over there in the Psukim by Mitzrayim, Vidaitem Keni Avaya. Should be a revelation of Elokus. Gilui Elokus Lamata in this world. And this should be in a way that should be permanent and everlasting experience in the life of Yidden and the world around us. There should be Gilui Elokus in this world. That's Geula. To get rid of the hell and the hester of this world. And should be Gilui Elokus in the world. That's accomplished through the Beis HaMikdash, which is supposed to be also permanent the Beis HaMikdash. Just because of the different negative reasons, it wasn't permanent. But the way it was meant to be, what's Geula? Geula is to bring Gilui Elokus into this world in a very permanent way, by even Kavua V'Nitzchi. And this will be complete, of course, when the Geula Mitzvah Shleima, then we're going to have the Beis HaMikdash forever, and the Geula forever. Geula Nitzchi is Beis HaMikdash Nitzchi. So the whole concept of Geula is to change the world for good, forever, in a way of Kavua V'Nitzchi, permanent and everlasting, which could never change again. That's Geula. That's Geula Shleima. Moshe Rabbeinu was meant to be the Redeemer. He, as soon as he was born, he was the one that was Hoyar Roy LeGeula, Mesukun LeGeula. So therefore, the Rebbe says, Moshe Rabbeinu himself also has this, the same as it is with Emes. Concerning the connection with Teda, it's also in connection with Geula. Geula is to be able to accomplish, there should be Gilui Elokus in this world, Nitzchi. So Moshe Rabbeinu, he's the one who does it, he also has the Indian of Nitzchius Ukvius. He's also permanent and everlasting. And this is what we see in the Kapitel Tilim, Moshe Rabbeinu, in Tilim, in Kapitel Sadek, it starts from Tfilah L'Moshe, Yeshu Elikim, Hashem Moin Atah Yisalonu B'deir V'deir. Hashem, you are with us. You are a dwelling place for us. B'deir V'deir, forever and ever. The first Pasuk Moshe Rabbeinu speaks about is Nitzchius Ukvius, to be here with us forever and ever. So therefore, Moshe Rabbeinu has also the Nitzchius and Kvius. And here the Rebbe mentions also that this is why the Gemara says that Loi Meis Moshe, and also all the Keiches of Moshe, and all the details and everything he accomplished remains forever, cannot be changed, and therefore the Mishkan that he built remains forever. So that's the reason why Moshe Rabbeinu, he's the one who had the Keiach to be Mamshech the Shechina Lamata in this world, that began the Geula, Moshe Rabbeinu began the Geula, which is going to be finalized and completed through Mashiach, of course, Goyel Rishon, Goyel Achron, and Mashiach specifically connects with Moshe Rabbeinu, going to be finalized in bringing the Geula, which is that there should be the Gilui HaShechina, the Ikir Shechina, Batachteinim, Lamata, Begilui. It should be in a way of Kvius, permanently, and Nitzchius, everlasting forever. So here we see another point in the concept of Moshe Rabbeinu being Nitzchi, B'li Shinuyim, one connected with the Emes, with the Midah of Emes that Moshe Rabbeinu has, in connection with Teda, and number two, in connection with Geula, that since he's the one who brings the Geula, therefore he also has the Kvius and the Nitzchius, and that's an essential, that's a part of the being of Moshe Rabbeinu, it's not something added, But we're talking about Moshe Rabbeinu. That's what Moshe Rabbeinu is. This is the two sichas of Chelek Chavav, and in Shabbos Agadol Tashinu Nalev. Now from this we can understand, if we say that by Moshe Rabbeinu has Nitzchius Ukvius, and his life can never be disconnected from this world. So this is connected with the fact that he brings the Geula. So certainly this also applies to Mashiach. Mashiach is the final Redeemer who completes what Moshe Rabbeinu began, and he's the one who brings the Geula, the Pale Mamish, to be a Geula Nitzchis, Beis HaMikdash Nitzchi. So definitely Mashiach also has this concept of Nitzchis Ukvius. And this we find in the Gemara. The Gemara says in Sukkah that the Eibishter says, the Gemara says that Mashiach, who's going to be revealed very soon, the Eibishter says to him, ask of me something and I'll give it to you. Hashem says to Mashiach, ask of me something and I'll give it to you. So Mashiach saw, says that he looked around and he saw that Mashiach ben Yosef was killed. The Gemara says, Mashiach ben David looked around and saw that Mashiach ben Yosef was killed. So therefore he said to the Eibishter, I'm not asking from you anything but life. This is what I want to ask from you. So the Eibishter says to him, life, even before you ask, David HaMelech, your great-grandfather, already said a nevuah about this. It says in Kapitel Tehillim, in Chof Aleph, Rashi says that the Kapitel Chof Aleph is going on in Melech HaMashiach. It says, Lam Natzeach Mizmer LeDavid, this is a Kapitel Tehillim that David HaMelech said. And he said all about Mashiach. Hashem, Bo'oz Choy Yismach Melech, the Melech HaMashiach is going to be very happy with your strength that you're going to give him. U'vishuoschon, with your salvation, Mayogel Mo'id, oh how joyful he will be. Tavas Libayna Satalei, what he desires, what his heart desires, you gave him. Vadesh Esfos of Balman Atosel, and whatever his lips mumbled and said, you didn't keep away from him. He's a kadmenu birchis teiv. You bring forth for him great good brachis. Toshes l'reisha, you put on his head a teres paras, a beautiful crown. Chayim shal nimcha. He asked of you for life. No satale, you gave it to him. Eirech yomim eilim voed. Long life forever and ever. So the Eibishter says to Mashiach, David HaMelech already said about you. You asked the Eibishter for life. And you gave it to him, and the Eibishter gave it to you forever and ever. Don't worry, Mashiach, you certainly have life forever and ever. So this says specifically about Mashiach as well. And we understand this very simply about the Sikha, that if it's by Moshe Rabbeinu we find this, that Moshe Rabbeinu's life was never interrupted, never disconnected. That's what the Gemara means by Loi Meis Moshe. So certainly, when you get to Mashiach, we find this special Haftach in the Gemara, that the Yibishter said, you'll have Chaim Leilam Voet. And it's interesting that shortly after Gimel Tammuz, Tavshin Nun Dalet, shortly after Gimel Tammuz, I was then involved in a certain publication that came out each month, and someone sent us a letter. It was a Muncie bus driver. And he said he was sitting in a shul in Williamsburg. He's not a Lubavitcher, but he knows many Lubavitcher Hasidim, and the bus, and so on. He said he was sitting in a shul in Williamsburg, and there were many Hasidim over there, not Lubavitch, who were discussing about Lubavitch, the Rebbe, and Mashiach, shortly after Gimel Tammuz. And they were mentioning how it seems a little bit strange that this, if you look in the Sikhs, in the last year, specifically in the last few months when the Rebbe spoke Sikhs, and by the way, those Sikhs were printed in a special form and publicized in many shuls in the whole metropolitan area. Anyhow, it said over there, many Sikhs, the Rebbe was emphasizing very strongly that there should be Chaim Nitzchim, eternal life without an interruption. You know, I have two quotes over here. One Sikh, the Rebbe says that it should be Neshamis Begufim, without any interruption, we should come to Gula Mitzvah Hashleima, and Nesidereinu Bereshenu, without any interruption, and Chaim Nitzchim, without any interruption in between. Many Sikhs, the Rebbe emphasize these words again and again. It should be Chaim Nitzchim, without interruption, again, over and again. And they found it like a little bit strange that the Rebbe should speak that way over and over. So he says the bus driver that he didn't have what to say, he didn't know what to tell him about this. But on the Gemara, on the table there, there was laying a Gemara. And he didn't really, like unintentionally, he just flipped open the Gemara. And all of a sudden his eyes fell on a piece of Gemara. And that's the Gemara that I mentioned before, about the fact that David should have said to Mashiach, ask of me something. And he asks him for life. And then he says, life I gave it to you. You have it forever and ever. So immediately he says, he showed it to all his friends over there. And they were all taken back. And he said, I guess we're like fools. We don't understand anything. Look what the Gemara says. Now it makes sense, they say. We see the Rebbe mentioned this. So the Gemara says, Mashiach asks for life. So the last few months of Sichas, you see, constantly the Rebbe mentioned it should be everlasting life without any interruption. Life without interruption. What does the Gemara say? Nasatulay, Hashem gave it to him. And that's the certainty that Chassidim have, that this whole situation is really only a temporary situation. And it's not Chas v'Shalom that the Rebbe left us. It's not Chas v'Shalom that the Rebbe disconnected from us in any way. And the Rebbe is fully connected with this world and to his Gufay HaKadosh, his physical body, the way it says about Yankov and Moshe Rabbeinu. We don't need it's clearly in the Sichas, the whole concept of what this means, but this is the strong feeling of Rabbi Chassid, that it's Dover HaPashut, that the Rebbe told us, Yigiyaz Mangulaschim, it's time for the Gula, and we're on the way to the Gula and all that. So what happened, not Chas v'Shalom, an interruption or a break or going backwards in any way. And again, the main point is that when we say that Loi Meis, this was mentioned in the Sikha, we say about Moshe Rabbeinu didn't die, we say about the Rebbe, that the Rebbe is still with us, still alive. The main point is that some people ask questions, well, what does that mean? Is he eating, drinking? That's not relevant at all. The Rebbe explains that's not the life of a tzaddik. We're not talking about if he's eating or drinking. The question is if he's with us. Is he with us? Is he still connected to this world? Is he still part of us? Or did he leave us? That's the question. So by most tzaddikim, after their passing, they left us. They're disconnected from this world. Okay, the ruchnius of the tzaddik is still present. The spirit of the tzaddik is still present in the world. We can still receive from him many benefits and so on. But he left us. The world is lacking the tzaddik before, and he was a part of the world and he left us. And what's clear to Chassidim in our situation is that we have the Rebbe just like before. He didn't Chas v'Shalom leave us. There's no interruption, no disconnection. The Rebbe is still with us, just like before, just part of us, just as before, and taking care of us and everything. It's a situation where we don't see the Rebbe, we're not able to connect in an open way with the Rebbe, but in essence, there is no change from before. And that's the main feeling that all Chassidim have, and this is understood according to what the Rebbe explains in these Sichas. There is another Sicha, a very interesting Sicha, in Lakutya Sichas Chelek Beis, in Parshas Dvarim, where it's a very interesting. Now, the Rebbe, in many Sichas, speaks about the concept of the Pnimius of Golus. That the Golus, in general, the Golus is something very negative and troublesome, and we're waiting to get out of Golus. But we know, it says that after the Gula comes, Eidcha Hashem ki anachta bi. So we're going to thank Hashem for the Golus. How can we understand that? What do you mean we're going to thank Hashem for the Golus? So there is the Pnimius of Golus. What's hidden inside the Pnimius of Golus, that's good. As long as we're in Golus, we don't see it. We feel the negativity of Golus. We don't see what's hidden inside it. The good that's in the Golus. After the Gula comes, then this will be revealed. We'll see what the Golus brought us. Basically, that through the Golus we come to the Gula. The Golus is something preparation for the Gula. You can only come to the Gula. The great Gula is only through the Golus before. But this is the Pnimius of the Golus. And after Mashiach comes, this will be revealed. And the Rebbe explains how this generation, just before the Gula, we already have a Yontif in the beginning of Tammuz, the Chagagula of Yud Beis Yud Gimel Tammuz, and that shows us, in the beginning of Gimel Tammuz, when the Friedrich Rebbe was released from jail, and that shows us how, before the 3 weeks approach, we already have a taste of Gula to know how to look a little bit at the Pnimius of these days. This Rebbe explains in many sichas. But here, in this sicha, the Rebbe mentions that in Chassidus, there is a mashal, a parable to explain what is the pnimius of Golos. How should we look at the pnimius of Golos? So the Rebbe says it's a mashal in the way a teacher learns with a student. It's a very interesting mashal. There is no source for this mashal. The Rebbe just says that it's mentioned in Chassidus. And out of all things, to bring a mashal for the Golos from a teacher and a student. And he says as follows. When a teacher learns with a student, so he's very devoted, pays a lot of attention to the student, and he's very nice to the student, and learns with him, and gives up his time, and explains everything very well, and the student feels great. He has this teacher who cares so much about him, who's explaining everything and taking care of him, teaching him the greatest devotion. Now what happens if while the teacher is learning with the student, all of a sudden, a flash of some news in this topic that they're learning comes into the mind of the teacher. So, due to the nature of such a thing, if the teacher wants to be able to get this new flash that enters his mind, he must concentrate on it. It's like a new idea all of a sudden enters his mind in the middle of learning. If he wants to get it, he must concentrate on it. If he won't concentrate on it immediately, he's going to lose it, and he won't be able to pick it up again. So, what does he do? He's in the middle of learning with a student, and all of a sudden, this very new flash, a great idea in the topic that they're learning, comes into his mind. So he has a choice. Either he's going to, at the moment he's going to concentrate on it, but that will sort of interrupt his learning with the student. He will have to stop learning with him for a moment, concentrate on this new idea that entered his mind, and then later he'll be able to share it with the student. But if he doesn't, then he won't be able to share it with the student, he won't be able to get it. So he has a choice. Either he can say, well, I'm so nice, this is my student, I love him so much, I'm so nice to him, what am I going to stop learning with him now in order to concentrate on this new idea that's entering my mind? Well, he's going to lose out. I won't be learning with him right now for the next few minutes. That's one approach. The other approach is, no, I love him so much, I want to be able to share with him this great new idea. And the only way I'll be able to do that is if I stop learning with him for a while in order to be able to get this new idea, and then I'll be able to share it with him. So, the Rebbe says, because of the very great pnimius dikya love that the teacher has for the student, he wants to be able to concentrate on this new flash of seichel that entered in his mind in order that he should be able to get it and then bring it and share it with the Talmud. However, so he says that depending on how deep this new concept that's entering his mind is, that's how much he has to interrupt his attention that he's giving to the student. Now sometimes he can manage both at once. He can learn with the student, but some of his concentration is on this new idea. But it's a deeper idea, he has to concentrate more. If it's even deeper, he has to concentrate more. So the deeper it is, the less he can be devoted to the student at that time, and the student feels that all of a sudden the Rav's attention is not with him anymore. He's somewhere else. He's not talking to him the way he usually does. And it can even be that he keeps quiet. It can even be that he turns the other way for a second at all, because he has to concentrate. It can even be that he'll get up and go into another room for a few minutes. So the Talmud is confused. He doesn't know what happened there. All of a sudden, the teacher is not interested in him. This is called Golus and Churban for the Talmud, says the Rebbe. By the student, this is a Golus and a Churban. What happened here? All of a sudden, the Rav was so devoted to him, left him. However, this is only in Chitzenius, the way it seems to the Talmud on the outer level. But in Pnimius Ayin, but in truth, what is this all about? This is not Chas V'Shalom that the Rav is leaving the Talmud, that he's not interested in him, but this is Tachlis HaGiluy. It's the the greatest revelation that Rav is trying to give the Talmud. He's trying to give him the most he could. And therefore, because of the benefit of the student, it's worth it that for a while, by the Talmud, there should be something that's even like Golus and Chorban. He thinks that Rav is totally uninterested in him, left him. At least that in the end, he should be able to, that Rav should be able to share with him this great news that came into, that entered in his mind. So what comes out? That the more that the Helen, that the Rav goes away from the Talmud, like I said before, if the Rav gets up and goes to another room, what does that show? That shows that this news that he's going to share with the Talmud is even greater. It's very, very great news. It will just be a little bit, he wouldn't have to get up and go into the other room. He can just lessen his attention to the Talmud, like I mentioned before. So the Rebbe says that the more the Rav, we see the Helam, that the Rav is away from the Talmud, so to say, that shows on the greatness of the Gilui, of the revelation that's being prepared for the Talmud. And of course he loves him so much, therefore it's worth it that for a while be a Helam and a Siluk, at least in the end, he should be able to bring him the great revelation. The Rebbe says this is a mashal how we can understand to the Pnimius Inyan of Golus, that although in Chitzenius it's Golus and Chorban, but in Pnimius this is Tachlis HaGilui. It's because the Gilui of the Gula HaSida is coming through, and because of the Gilui of the Gula HaSida, therefore, temporarily, because the Er Chodesh, because the great new light of the Gula is coming down, so therefore, the previous, whatever was there previously, leaves. Just like, this is a mushal to understand. Why it has to be this way, we don't understand. But this is a mushal, just as it is by the Rav and the Talmud. That he has to stop learning with him what he was previously learning with him in order to be able to bring him the new great news. So too it is with the Geula, that because of the Gilui Er Chodesh of the Geula, and that it's so great, so therefore, what was here previously, prior to the Geula, sort of leaves, and that shows us that how close it is to the Geula, and it's all worth it, at least in the end there should be the great revelation of the Geula Asida. This is the Mashal and the Nimshal. Now in the end of the Sikha, the Rebbe says that the Hira, the lesson for us is that although the darkness of the Golos, the further the Golos goes, the more the darkness, until we reach the time that just before the Geula, where the Rebbe says there was never yet such a darkness, but yet we should chas v'shalom not be influenced the wrong way, but we should know that this, that the darkness was greater, is because we're closer and closer to the light of the Geula, and in order to see to it that the light of the Geula should actually come down here the Mata, so the Rebbe says that it's necessary that the student should know two things. Should be two things by the student. Here the Rebbe gets back to the student and the Rav. It's very interesting. He's not talking about the mushal anymore. He's talking about the nimshal, about the Geula coming down to the world. And he gets back to speak about the attitude of the Talmud towards the Rav. And he says, number one, that the Talmud has to have the knowledge. He has to know that the Helam and the Siluk is only in Chitzenius, but in Pnimius, it's Tachlis HaGilui, that the Rav is going to bring him the Geula. This is what's happening. It's preparing the Geula. And second of all, there has to be this kashrus and the thirst to the Rav, that although the Talmud sees that in Chitzenius it looks like the Rav left, yet he has to stand with a kashrus to the Rav, know that he didn't chas v'shalom leave, this is only a temporary helm v'siluk, it's only a temporary helm, and he has to have a very great thirst to the Rav, knowing that he's coming back and he wants to see him immediately. And this thirst of Ritzeneinu Lireis Esmalkeinu, this brings that there should be the Gilui of the Er Chodesh, the Geula Asida, the Kariv Mamash. It's like very interesting how the Rebbe, I mean, this is a clear picture we can have on this temporary situation. After Gimel Tammuz, the Rebbe said, Igiyaz Mangulaschem, the Geula is coming, and Mashiach is on his way, and all things going towards the Geula. So there's no question that whatever is taking place these 7 years, has taken place these 7 years, is not chas v'shalom anything backwards. It's only leading towards the Geula. we don't understand, and we don't want that. It should have been this way, and we scream at Masai, and we have the Tzimoyim, we say that it's a Nenu, it's a small Kenu. But we know that this is Chas V'Shalom, not anything of removal, not an interruption, not a disconnection. It's all going forward, going towards the Gula, bringing the Gula. The Rebbe gives us this marshal, the Rav and the Talmud, for the Gula, the Rav, it looks like the Rav left him, and then he wants him to come back, and he's going to come back and give him the greatest Gula, and to understand that this is not Chas V'Shalom, that he's not interested in him, that he doesn't want him, it's the other contrary, he wants to bring him the great news of the Gula. This way the Rebbe explains it in the Sikha, which is very interesting, and gives us a light how to look at the situation, to know that this is clear, I mean, there's no doubt about it. It's a temporary situation, and we're going towards the Gula, and very soon, and let it be immediately, we should see the Rebbe, and we should see the Gula Shleim, and take him. We have knowledge.